Zebra mussels have been quickly spreading throughout our state's lakes, and the problem only seems to be getting worse. Our next guest calls them the most successful invasive species on the planet.
Jake van der Zanden joins us. He's a professor at the UW Center for Limnology. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us, what are zebra mussels and what do they look like?
Okay, well, zebra mussels is essentially a small clam, and they're much smaller than any other clams you would normally see here in Wisconsin. They're about the size of your fingernail or a little bit smaller. And this is a species that lives on the bottom, so you're not going to see it up in the water column. They're always on the bottom on some sort of hard surface.
And why zebra? Do they have stripes?
They do have little stripes on them as well. So that's why they're called the zebra mussel.
And how do they affect our lakes?
Okay, well, zebra mussels are a species that's been spreading into a lot of new lakes. And they are unusual in their ability to just transform the ecology of a lake. And I can sort of describe that. Essentially, the first thing they do is, one of the main ways they affect lakes is they filter the water. And so they're clearing the water over the course of eating. At the same time, they also excrete a lot of nutrients in the process of doing that. And so what we end up getting is a situation where the water in the lake is clearer, and then they're oozing a lot of nutrients. And what that does is it allows more light to go to the bottom. And with all those nutrients down there, we get these big gooey mats of algae growing on the bottom. And so someone might look at the lake and say, oh, it's more clear. But down below, there's lurking these gooey, scummy mats. And then those mats ultimately get washed up onto shore and cause a stinky mess.
And what about fish? What do fish think of them?
Well, anytime a species comes in and transforms the system, there are winners and losers. So some fish that can feed on the bottom and can feed on zebra mussels are going to benefit from them. And there
like
are
a
some bottom
carp, maybe?
Yeah, carp and some other bottom feeding fish do benefit, but many of our native fish species here in Wisconsin do not benefit from it because they feed more up in the water column, and so they are the losers in this game. The other thing that's notable to mention is that there is a fish species that comes from the same lake in Central Asia as the zebra mussel comes from. It's called the round goby. And the round goby evolved feeding on zebra mussels. It's an invasive species here now, and so it shows up and it does really well because its favorite food, a buffet of zebra mussels, is here.
So two invasive species here, and the predator would be these fish, but you don't want more invasive things in the lake?
Well, we don't want them coming, but they come, and they do really well because the zebra mussels are here. So you could think about it like the ecosystem of the Caspian Sea in Central Asia is starting to reassemble here in North America, and that's not really what we want. So, yeah.
Are there other natural predators of these zebra mussels?
None that are effective at knocking down the populations in a substantial way, but there are a lot of species that,
that
will eat. Well, remember, the zebra mussel, it's a clam, and so it's got this very hard shell. So most organisms in this part of the world are not adapted to feeding on it in the shell. And, you know, it would be like if you were to go eat some mussels, but you had to eat the shell. You know, we can crack them open
with
our hands.
Not very appetizing.
No, it's not super appetizing.
We're talking right now with Jake van der Zanden. He is a professor at the UW Center for Limnology. We're talking about zebra mussels that have made their way, an invasive species, made their way into inland lakes here in Wisconsin, many other states as well. Jake, do people need to take any special precautions in infested lakes?
Yeah, absolutely. They're currently in several hundred water bodies in Wisconsin right now. In addition, they're in Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. The thing that people can do is make sure they're not spreading zebra mussels around to new water bodies. That's really the first line of control in dealing with this issue. And zebra mussels can be spread either as the adult, so that fingernail-sized thing that you'll actually see that on your on a rock or on your boat if it's attached. But there are also these microscopic larvae. And you will not see them, but they are there in really high levels in summer in water. So if you were to transport water from, say, Lake Mendota into some other lake, you could inadvertently spread zebra mussels, and you wouldn't even know you did it. And so this is something that's really important, just to make sure we're cleaning off our boats and not moving water and other sorts of materials from one lake to another.
And when we go swimming in these lakes, I've heard they're kind of sharp on our feet.
Yeah, that's one of the main impacts. There are many. One is that they have these sharp shells. And so if you swim, a lot of people have been complaining about cutting their feet on the shells of zebra mussels. And the other big economic impact is that they will grow on water intakes of industrial users and utilities. And so when zebra mussels show up, then the local utility spends millions of dollars trying to unencrust all of these shells from the intakes.
Oh, because they're clogging the intakes.
They clog the intakes, and so now they're constantly having to clean them. When I say the species is really prolific and they become really abundant, I mean it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So apparently zebra mussels are in less than 2% of Minnesota lakes. Why are they so prevalent just one state over here in Wisconsin?
Well, they're not necessarily less prevalent. We have about 15,000 lakes here in Wisconsin, and they're in a couple hundred.
Okay.
So it's in the same ballpark.
It's in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is that there are some lakes that just simply are not very suitable for zebra mussel. Those are those really crystal clear, unproductive, pure lakes. They don't have enough calcium in the water to support zebra mussels. And Minnesota does have more of those kinds of lakes than we do in Wisconsin. But no, I would say it's similar.
Speaking of Minnesota, they're experimenting with a special copper-based pesticide that's being applied to parts of Lake Minnetonka, and it's supposed to reduce the survival of larvae. What do we know about this product?
I am skeptical about a lot of these sorts of technologies that are supposed to get rid of zebra mussels. We look at many of the lakes that we have invaded here in Wisconsin, and they're really large water bodies. Lake Mendota, it's massive. There's billions of gallons of water out there, and there's really nothing that we could do to eliminate zebra mussels that would have no impacts on the other species. So there's a lot of research going on right now to try to figure out ways of controlling these, but those types of techniques are only really applicable at very small scales. Like, let's say there is a water intake. Perhaps you could use those sorts of technologies at that very local level, but for a real ecosystem, it's really not viable.
You're not going to spray an entire lake or dump something into an entire
lake. I would not advise it. I mean, what else are you going to kill, right?
What is some of the other research going on to try to control zebra mussels? Because I understand you can't eradicate them.
Yeah, so eradication, which would involve just getting rid of them, is not an option. But there are some things that we may be able to do to keep their populations level down. I sort of view the invasion of Lake Mendota as an opportunity to maybe learn some of these vulnerabilities. So Lake Mendota is one of the most well-studied lakes in the world, and maybe we could sort of figure out what are the factors that might keep their populations down. So, yeah, they're still going to be there, but you take the edge off of their impacts.
Let's take a call now about zebra mussels. Kenneth in Janesville. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. Have raccoons, native raccoons, discovered the escargot? I mean, zebra mussels?
That is a great question. I think that they probably have, I haven't really done a lot of research on raccoons, but it seems to make sense that they would have tapped into them. The flip side of that, though, is that raccoons are really small, and there's not a lot of,
zebra mussels.
Raccoons are not really small. Zebra mussels are really small, and there's not a lot of meat on a zebra mussel, and you have to get through all of those shells. But I think a really hungry raccoon might enjoy some of these zebra mussels.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, so we have cold winters. There are some nuisance aquatic plants that get killed off during cold winters. What happens to zebra mussels during the winter?
They survive winters just fine.
You're kidding.
No,
huh.
You don't see a lot of zebra mussels in the very shallow water environments of lakes. And that's for two reasons. One is that the water level will sometimes be drawn down in lakes if there's a water control structure, and so they'll get dried down. The other thing is that the wave action, but particularly the ice action in those really shallow waters, will kill off the zebra mussels. So you might go down to your lake and look in the water, and you don't see any in that really shallow water. You go out a meter to where the water is a few feet deep, and you start picking up rocks, and you'll see lots of zebra mussels out there. So, you know, the deeper water is more of a refuge from the ice.
So are we getting any sense of how we may be able to reduce them? And are we concerned about zebra mussels? I mean, should we be taking notice here?
Well, we They do have major ecological and economic impacts, so we should be concerned about them. I think the efforts that the state has taken and citizens have taken has been to try to stop them from spreading further, and I think those efforts have been successful. So that's, I would say, the main thing that we can do. And of course, there is research going on with regard to, you know, how we might actually control them. But again, I think really implementing those is gonna, it's somewhere down the road at this point.
And are there resources available to find out more information? So how we can, you know, study up on what we can do to help?
Sure. The DNR, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, has a website that has a lot of really useful information about the ecology of zebra mussels. My lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology also has a web page about invasive species, and we have some basic information about the ecology of these species. So those would be things to check out for sure.
And when did they arrive on the scene here in Wisconsin?
Well, they moved into inland lakes of Wisconsin in the 1990s.
Okay.
So they have been spreading around here for a while, and they've spread pretty quickly too. So they're not new members of our state.
Well, we have an eye on them now.
Yeah.
Well, Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That was Jake van der Zanden. He's a professor at the UW Center for Limnology, and we've been talking about the spread of zebra mussels in Wisconsin lakes.
Coming up after the news, it may look like the U.S. is in the midst of a major ideological divide, but our guest says most people aren't on either side. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.